You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm your host, Steve Rivera, in with my two guys from CPR to You, Sean Kimball and Bill Spurbeck. It would be happy hour, Sean, if Bill wasn't here. So it's kind of like the unhappy hour because Bill's here.
Are Big Macs part of
anyhow? So
happy hours.
Moving ahead. Now that we're on daylight savings time, we don't actually do here now.
Yes, there's 5 o'clock somewhere. It's just not 5 o'clock here.
Nope.
So let's get on with it. How you guys doing? I haven't seen you in about a month. Thank God.
Yeah. Everything's going good. New business ventures. Want to?
Yes, yes. We'll talk about that.
A quick shout out to one of our instructors, Clint, had a new baby girl, Kona. Say hello to Kona.
Are you awake?
Yeah, I'm awake.
How you doing? He's always like this, Usher.
Yes.
You don't know whether he's. It's almost bedtime.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm getting my pre-massage.
Yes. Hey. You guys are involved in a lot of sports because you guys are at a lot of events. Correct.
Correct. We just finished up the Oktoberfest.
Did you?
Baseball? Yeah, Mexican Classic. Which
we were here last time when we talked. You did not make the old attendance here.
Yeah, no, I had a choice of coming
or
watching paint on a wall drying. We did that.
You're not, are you at U of A? Are you doing U of A games?
No.
Not yet.
That's kind of above our,
above your pay grade. That makes it. Let me tell you something. Not anymore because they're not very good. You know that. Sorry to tell you this. Break some news to you.
I'm an NAU Lumberjack fan.
Well, they did beat them, so it tells you how bad NAU is, or how good they are.
How good? I think they had
not a university. Or what was it he said?
Not a university.
My wife says not a university.
So you guys, tell me what you do because I have some questions.
Okay, so this new business we incorporated was basically a emergency medical service standby. We come out to your event, provide paramedics, EMTs. Just in case something does go wrong.
Don't you do that now? No? What was your... How many businesses do you have?
7.
You're like the guy, because I consider myself the guy in Green Acres. What's his name? The guy with the snake oil, the stuff in the...
Arnold Ziffel?
No. big. Who's the guy? The guy that sells stuff.
I don't remember.
It'll come to me. But so now, what did CPR to you do?
CPR to does provide American Heart Association CPR training.
Oh, okay. That's right.
So now more training and education. Now this is actually instructors going out actually providing first aid.
Right. How many instructors do you have?
17.
70?
17. 17.
Seven. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
cool.
17.
Cool. Because you are there many, I don't want to say, are there many businesses like yours or are you the only one in Tucson?
There was 3. There's down to 2.
And really?
Yeah, we're.
You're busy.
Yeah, we're busy. We're doing about 150 classes a month.
And you save a lot of lives, or at least presumably? Yes,
sure. We hear stories.
You have a partner here.
No, she's at home.
Well, Sean's your other guy who's speaking.
Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's kind of like a teacher. You don't know where people are going to go after you teach them as far as students, whether it's at the elementary, junior high, or high school level. And for us, we don't know. I mean, we're in charge of teaching people CPR, whether it's a grandparent, coach, or a teacher, all the way up to physicians and nurse practitioners, PAs, paramedics, EMTs. So it's a wide range, and so they're out there saving lives every day.
So you just asked a story about just recently one of our contracts we have with the city of Tucson. Uh-huh. Mike Balto, who's normally here on the show, had taught the class. And back in March over at the Udall Park, one of the residents had gone into cardiac arrest on the racquetball court. Mm-hmm. And students that Mike actually trained grabbed the AED and shocked him and saved his life. So we hear stories like that.
So one of my listeners who's on listening, Mr. Haney. Remember, he had all that stuff.
He's got
a lot of business. Mr. Haney, hey, I got some stuff here.
Appreciate that.
So busy. Obviously, is there a profession that, this might be a dumb question, that kind of not takes over or is predominant in your profession? Because you need coaches to be this way. You need teachers to have this.
Coaches, teachers, like we've discussed in the past, July 1st of this year now, in order to graduate high school in Arizona.
Students
have to take a CPR class.
Who pays for that?
Combination of the school districts and the students are still kind of figuring out the financial aspect of it.
Oh, really? Because it's what is it? What would it be, like $60, $80?
No, we're actually looking at about $10 a student.
Oh, really? Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's a one-hour course. Well, and I'll teach them adult CPR, choking, the AED, and they get a certificate, and they're done.
Yeah. So, and 1 hour? You could do it at any time?
Yeah.
You just, as long as you get it before you graduate.
Graduate, yes.
You just have to have a certificate. This is the first year?
Yes, in
first
Arizona.
Yeah, it's mandatory, yeah, this year.
Right. That's across the board, private schools, high schools, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
To get a diploma, you have to have it.
And then we're 38.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
How many states do that?
We're the 38th state. Actually, there's 39 now. They just recently passed. I forget what state it was, but just recently they
passed. You're a smart man. How do you know this? You're like Bill Walton.
No, my wife calls me Rain Man.
Yeah.
That fits.
I'm a trivia. So if you have any callers,
Judge Wapner.
Yeah, I'm most definitely a good crime fighter.
Thank you for having me.
Let's talk football. I know you guys are UA fans. You have to be because you guys are local. You guys go to a lot of games.
Yeah, and here's an interesting story. Chuck Cecil, we have an annual dinner. We support the National Fallen Firefighters Greater Tucson Fire Foundation dinner. Annual uh-huh. dinner we support. Chuck actually donated some time, and we had a live auction item where he'd come out to the fire station. I ended up buying the item. He came out and talking about an intense guy. I sat next to him. He's out there for a couple of hours with us and sitting next to him, and I swear to God, I thought he was going to try to tackle me.
How long ago was this?
About 8 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, right. I think right after spring ball.
So he acted that way, or you just get the
real
sense?
Intense. Yeah, he just
yeah. He's like
very
that.
Very nice,
very smart guy.
Ah, smart and real nice guy, and but just real intense. Probably just going back about 20 years ago, back when Teddy mm-hmm. Bruschi was here, I was teaching hazardous materials, and the Larry Smith Speaker Bureau assigned Teddy to me, and. He was just supposed to come out one time and get involved in this hazardous materials training course. He probably came out about 15, 20 times with me. We made him the incident commander. And so just
what was your impression? Is that the first time you've met him?
Yeah, and actually we become friends and we communicate. And just a real nice, turn it on the field, turn it off when he's off the field.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't know who he was and
right,
you met him
right,
off
right.
the field. Just
were you here? Guy. Were you here? You had been here when he played, right?
Yeah.
Mid-80s?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is he actually came out with me and we call him incident commander, the person in charge of the scene. He came out, I met him 15, 20 times and got involved and just a real nice guy.
Right. Yeah, he is. He's now he's mild-mannered. You'd never... If you saw him on the street, you'd never think that he was this guy.
No, never a pro.
You think that, this is a dumb question because I know what your answer is going to be. You think he's going to be able to help this team in his capacity?
Chuck?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's going to take more than one game.
Sure.
The gentleman, I mean, we don't know if he was using the old offense or old defense or new defense, but he's got the experience. He's got NFL level experience and he's got the player experience. So I think he's got the combination of all three that gave him a little bit of time and some confidence and...
Right. Someone said that, I've said this yesterday, I said this probably the day before in the public, everyone's saying, will he make a difference in the team defensively?
Yeah.
And I said, do they still have the same players?
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they put a lot of responsibility on the coaches, so it's the coach's fault, but you have to have talent to coach.
Exactly. There's no one, Teddy Bruschi is not coming through that. Through that tunnel or whatever they're coming through right now.
No, but you could see Chuck up and there'd be a whole different change in three games at the end of this season.
Do you think so?
Oh, yeah.
I know I do, too. I think it's maybe toughness. That was a disheartening game and that nothing on him.
No.
They're playing better teams. Oregon State, not so much, but it's going to be tough the next 3 weeks. 4 weeks.
Who's next?
Oregon.
Oregon next week. They don't play this week. And hey, we got to take a break here real quick. It's already 25% in.
Your boss told me on the way in that you got a break when he hired you. So.
Oh, that's sad. Well, sorry. Let's go. Let's get out of here. Let's 10:30 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm your host, Steve Rivera, in with my CPR to you guys, Sean Kimball and Mr. Bill Spurbeck. So you can get off your phone now there, Bill. Hey, so you know what today is?
Tuesday.
Good guess. Bill's asleep, so we won't wake him. Better show, Sean. Basketball season starts today.
Oh, that's right.
College basketball season
starts. Absolutely.
Today. NBA season starts in June. In case you haven't noticed, Golden State's going to be out of it. They might win a game or two.
Absolutely.
But you know what? Break out the Suns.
Yeah.
They played really well. They won last night. I think they're 5-2 now or 4-2?
5-2.
5-2. Thank you, Ray. Thank you for your input. You can go back to sleep.
They beat the Sixers.
I know. I might have to start going up and covering some games and, you know, jump on the bandwagon before.
There you go,
yeah,
man.
Somebody. 5-2.
Yeah, yeah.
See, on the break, I went in and told him to get closer to the mic, and now the mic is pointing like the opposite direction.
He's like a little kid. He's like a 12-year-old or 2-year-old.
I could have stayed home tonight and had the same conversation.
Yes, yes.
And probably will later on, too. So let's also talk about those Lady Cats. They're playing tonight,
They're playing tonight, too. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You guys worked that game?
No.
So let me ask you, how did this conglomerate big-time thing that you have start? What made you do this?
Well, I saw a need in the market. With example, with the standby with the events, Mike Vetter hit us up and said, hey, I need some assistance with...
You're talking about the new one?
Yes.
Okay, so then we'll talk about the old one, or the CPRTU. So this one, the new one, which is called?
The new one is Emergency Medical Standby Services, okay, EMS2U.
So go ahead. Go ahead.
And again, all of us are 30-plus years paramedics and saw a need, and Mike enjoyed us for the last couple of years, and... So we decided, hey, let's put together a little LLC, and we're moving forward with it.
Mm-hmm. So you guys are busy with it? Just starting?
Actually, just starting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just starting. And then...
We need a PR guy? Hey, you're looking at him. Think about it. Just think about it. So how did you get into business? How did you get into the business?
The CPR business?
Yes.
Solid. Been teaching CPR since 1983, and... saw that there's a need for it. It's a nice business where one, our mission statement is we save lives, so we do something good for the community. It's not economic dependent, i.e. the economy's good, business is good, the economy's bad, business is good.
Because people want to live?
People want to live, and there's a requirement. It's amazing the number of actually occupations that require CPR, and there's a perfect example, like with students in high schools, up until last year, the... Tooth on these football only required one coach to be trained.
Right, you
today,
said that, yeah.
Every coach has to be trained. So it's pretty amazing the number of people that require training. The Heart Association did a study a couple years ago that says basically about 12% of a population is required to have CPR training. So in Tucson, about 120,000 people.
Really?
Yeah, required training.
So, Sean, what made you decide to get into this?
So, I was in the fire service for about 25 years, retired. Bill gave me a call, said, hey, why don't you come on over and help out here? I'm looking at really getting this and amping this up. So, I said, I don't know. And he said, just try it a little bit. So, I came over, and almost 7 years later, here I am. And, you know, it's something that you can get behind, you can enjoy. So, obviously, we're doing good things. You always come to work, and, you know, you're going to help out. So.
So the skepticism was not about the business; it was about Bill, wasn't it? Being partners with Bill.
Yeah, he does. He is listening to the show now. So his headset's on.
He's
now,
in the building.
No, yeah, you know, it wasn't that. It basically what it was I had done it for 25 years and was looking at going a different direction, and then Bill had me come over and you know, kind of hopped on board there and went from there.
Well, you were a coach, which kind of not shocked me before the show.
We talked about it last time.
Yeah, yeah. So what did you want to be when you grew up?
Are water aerobics considered a sport?
Bill's asking for a friend, apparently. So
he has no friends.
If you could just see him with his floaties on. So, you know, didn't really know when I came to high school. You know, I had pretty much like anybody else, I'm going to play pro sports. Mm-hmm, and that didn't work out. So we had to figure out what we wanted to do next. Got into the fire service and didn't even look back. If I was a younger person, I'd go back in the fire service.
So let me ask you, because it didn't work out, what did you need to make it work? This is a silly question, but okay, we all had that dream.
Oh, yeah.
So what was your deterrent?
Talent.
Yeah.
So. Well, if that's what it is, that's what it is.
No, well, yeah, I mean, speed would be a big one. I didn't have a problem hitting, but yeah, speed was the big one. So,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of funny. One of the folks I actually coached with was Jay Dobbins.
I coached with
Jay Dobbins. Yeah, and so his son was playing there, and I asked him. I said, "So why didn't you go off to the pros?" And he goes, "Oh, I don't know." He goes, "You've probably seen me play football before, and I was pretty good at it." He goes, "But my class when I came out was Jerry Rice and folks like that." So
yeah.
He goes, "So I went on to go to another agency."
My college roommate actually in up at NU, played 11 years in the NFL, Michael Haynes.
Oh, yes, but with the Raiders?
That's Marcus Haynes.
Oh, Michael Marcus was, Haynes, really?
Yeah, Michael was a actually went to NAU on a track scholarship from New Orleans.
Uh-huh.
His sophomore year, they found out how fast he was, and he was a second-round draft choice, played with the Falcons and the Saints the 11 years.
NFL. What, the first name?
Michael
Haynes. Have to Google that.
Yeah, look him up. Great guy, but again, was just on a track scholarship.
Why did you go to NAU?
I wanted an education. No, I
couldn't get the prerequisites for Pima. So
yeah. I like the atmosphere, and then I was a flight paramedic.
That's a better answer. Yeah. But actually, the first one was funny.
Yeah, flying helicopters, a flight paramedic, great job. And then another one of my roommates for one semester, his name's Frank Pollock. He's currently
you lose a lot of roommates. You know that. I wonder if there's a reason for that.
I can't discuss that on here. But no, Frank.
You already gave me two.
No, Frank is actually the current offensive line coach with the Jets.
Oh, really? So you had a few big names there.
Yeah. We actually had his name was Sean Collins. He was actually first round draft choice. Got caught with some domestic violence. So at the time, they had a pretty good team. Actually, Frank invited Sean and I out to before he went to the Jets. He was the Cowboys offensive line coach and invited us. How long ago was it? A couple years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, to come out and spend a day at the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah. So, Sean, you coached for a few years, like 7 years?
Probably five.
Yeah. 5 years, yeah. And you decided to get out of it because?
The chess pieces were getting a little heavy.
But bump. Yeah, that's just, once again, trying to be funny, and today's not the day. So,
yeah.
No, just moving on. The job that I had before worked with the schedule very well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. Yeah, now he's got you working pretty hard.
Well, we're really dependent on what folks need. So, one of the things we do is we teach an advanced cardiac life support class or a pediatric advanced life support class Wednesday evenings, and I was coaching either freshman or JV. So that's their walkthrough day right before we do that, and then mm-hmm. we teach the same class on Thursday from 12 until 5. So the problem that I have then is that's when you're on the bus traveling. So
let me ask you, you've seen the evolution of football. You're older than 50, I think.
Oh, yeah,
you
absolutely.
You've seen the evolution now. Mm-hmm. What do you think about it now, how it's played?
It's a different game.
And where do you think it's going to go? Because of the safety, right? It's safety?
Yeah, the safety. So they've made some modifications. We were talking about Chuck Cecil earlier. I mean, Chuck was just an animal in there. They've got rules in the NFL because of Chuck. Now they've got the targeting rule. A lot of the problems that they're having is they're seeing whether short-term or long-term, as we were discussing, CTE. Mm-hmm. Which is long-term, they used to call it punch drunk, but now it's a head trauma that they've caused over long-term that damages the brain, which is causing issues of anything from Alzheimer's and dementia down to other issues where they're having some psychological disorders that are causing violence and some other things. And so they had to change a few things. No more shots above the head. You can't hit people directly in the head. So we're getting into a part where they're going to try to make it safer. The game is moving faster. People are larger.
Yeah.
You take a look at the player 25 years ago versus now, a lot bigger kids, a lot quicker. You've got linemen that run pretty good 40-yard dashes themselves, can move laterally pretty well, whereas before they just blocked up the hole, they stood up and leaned forward for, the whole game, and now they're actually moving left and right. So.
Yeah, I was 6'2", 235 in high school, and I was second biggest kid on the team.
And where are you going with this?
No, I'm just saying as far as, size. Today, 6'2 is nothing.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right. So you see it too, obviously, the change in the game and
how it's played. Yeah, I think the change in the game, and I call these changes or these rules the book of mistakes. And it's pretty, in our country or around the world, is we write laws after something happens.
Oh, right.
A mistake has happened, and, the goal is to have these athletes live long and prosperous lives. And unfortunately, we're talking about a game where physical violence is part of it.
Do you think it could be done in... the sport's going to probably last a while.
You know what's going to be really interesting is it's a newer sport, it's MMA.
Yeah.
To see in 20 years the type of head trauma and injuries we're going to see with those guys. I mean, those guys are hand to hand to head.
Yeah, they just had a big fight over the weekend, and you see some guys getting kicked in the head, and they're just passing out right away.
Well, that boxer
3 weeks ago. Yeah.
And right. I wanted to talk to you guys about that.
Yeah.
Because I've seen fights like that where the guy didn't die, obviously, but he was beat pretty badly, and you wonder if he is going to survive the next day.
There is a boxer that died, what, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, 2 or 3 weeks ago. Yeah, we talked about the last time we were talking about he hadn't perished at the time, but we talked about the violence that involves in that. And you know, here's the thing. I mean, what happens is the violence sells. I mean, that's why the MMA is so big right now.
Right, right.
And it's, you know, you go to a football game, there's going to be some collisions, not so much ahead all the time. Mm-hmm. You become a boxer, you have the inherent risk that you're going to do with that. You become an MMA boxer, you're going to do that. So what boxing did since the change of the last century, you know, from the 1800s to the 1900s, basically, you know, they were using lifting gloves. I mean, they were hitting each other with 2-3 ounce gloves. Right. So you look in the Rocky Marciano days where they were using probably, you know, 3 and 4 ounce gloves. That's why you see like the old boxers like Jake LaMotta and a few others. I mean, their faces just looks like cauliflower. And so their way of doing that was to make the gloves bigger, make them more fluffier when they do that. I still wouldn't want to get hit by the large glove now, but... Then the other issue that you had was we talked about last time is you have a 15-round fight. It used to be a championship boxing match, and we were hurting and killing people. So
yeah. You know. Okay, good. We'll talk about more of stuff like this on the other side. We're going to take a break here on 10:30 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm your host, Steve Rivera, in with my guys, CPRTU, Sean Kimball, and Mr. Bill Spurbeck. Hey, you guys are still doing your discount thing for the show?
Yeah.
So tell me again what it is.
Call us at 520-400-8204.
During the week?
Weekend, evening. And mention you heard us on...
Steve's show,
and we'll give you 50% off on a course.
It's called Eye on the Ball?
Eye on the Ball. Yep, Eye on the Ball.
Hey, let me ask you some weird questions, because I haven't asked you any weird yet. So who were your idols growing up? And who were your idols growing up, and would you have wanted to meet them?
Athletes, you mean?
Yes. So, this is a sports show, Bill.
Lester Hayes.
Would you have wanted...
Oakland Raider defensive back. So,
yeah, no, but...
Marcus Allen. I'd like to meet Marcus Allen. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Go ahead first, and I'll explain.
So going in the 70s, I loved John Hadle and Harold Jackson.
John Hadle, Miami Dolphins?
No, the Rams.
And
then Mercury Morris.
Was he Dolphins, right?
Yeah. I love Mercury Morris. Going into the 80s, I think baseball is more involved in baseball. But overall, I think most of them. I don't have any real particular. I like the Big Red Machine, Johnny Bench.
I was in 76, I'm a Cincinnati Red fan.
Yeah, the Reds and the A's back then with Reggie Jackson and Campy Campaneras and Gene Dennis and Sal Bandel and Vida Blue.
I go with this was, if you have these idols, would you have wanted to meet them? And what would be the disappointment if they were jerks? It happens a lot.
So here's a perfect example. Reggie Jackson.
Yeah.
Back when the Indians spring trained here, he had left the Yankees and went to work with the Angels, mm-hmm. and at high court. But
was he playing or working?
No, he's playing.
Okay.
They had that, 3-foot, 4-foot fence, you know, between the field and stuff. And, hey, Reggie, can I get a ball? I don't sign ball, son. And then this is like 15 years ago.
Son to you?
Yeah. He called me son. I don't sign ball, son.
Okay.
And then... about 10 years, 12 years ago, back when the Sidewinders were here, Ricky Henderson came in town.
Oh, yeah. Ricky doesn't talk to anybody but Ricky.
Yeah, and he was kind of disappointing.
Yeah. No, I've had those many a times, those guys.
Who was cool was back when I was traveling the circuit teaching hazardous materials response for the fire department, one of my friends, his name is Dan Clement, retired from Golden Ranch Fire. His best friend in high school is Greg Jeffries. And Greg was just up and coming, starting second baseman with the Mets.
Yeah.
And so we'd gone back there, taught classes in Queens, and then at night we'd go to the games, and I got to sit with Doc Gooden's wife, you know, Dwight Gooden.
Mm-hmm.
He was really a nice guy.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. He just got caught up in some bad stuff. My idol was Pete Rose.
Yeah.
And, well, he's not a good dude.
Yeah.
And that kind of, you know, I'm not a sports fan. I don't know if you guys, are you a sports fan?
Yeah, I love sports.
You, Sean?
Mm-hmm.
For the reason of what? Competition? You like watching them play?
Strategy and competition, absolutely.
Yeah. You, Bill?
Yeah, I think the strategy and I think the talent. You know, if you really sit down and look at the, just in baseball, from little league to major league, just how competitive is it? And I had a great conversation. You know, talking about something that's full of knowledge and wealth is Mike Fetter.
Mm-hmm.
So during this last Mexican baseball fiesta, I had some time to sit down and talk. And just the sheer numbers,
right?
You know, the statistics and the statistic of actually becoming a Major League Baseball player and the difference between like a AAA player and a major is almost nothing.
The difference?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a difference, a great difference, but in reality, it's a small difference. And so I like the talent. And then you talk to some of these athletes and the dedication. While we're out, you know, playing around, these guys are, I had some good conversations with Greg Jeffries that the hours he spent training and...
That's the difference between good and being good and really, really good.
Well, I was talking today with one of my buddies from Tucson Fire. His daughter's on when he's traveling club balls.
Mm-hmm.
And my nieces and great nieces were involved in his club softball stuff. You know, 4 or 5 nights a week practice, every weekend on the road playing. It's just amazing. You know, back in, we were playing a little league, we'd, you know, practice 1 or 2 nights a week, have a game on Saturdays, and that was it.
Sure. Sure. No, that's how times have changed.
Yeah.
And that's why they need guys like you guys, because guys are getting hurt more. Did you see a study not too long ago, maybe a few months, if sooner, soccer? You know, I think we may have talked about this, Sean.
Yeah, we talked about soccer. Yeah, soccer is one of those ones that it's a hidden one where people don't think it's a contact sport, and it truly is.
And the balls, yeah, my son's played that, and I always thought, imagine that ball coming at you, blah blah blah, and it does,
mm-hmm.
and it's
hard leather ball.
Yeah, it's,
and then, you know, using your head to stop it or
right, and I guess it's the girls that they're more concerned about right now. Does he wear those headbands or whatever?
Well, same with softball players. They got the face masks on, pitching and
sure
and stuff. It's,
what was the, this might be another dumb question. What was the one of the worst injuries you've seen when you were at an event? Like you said, oh man.
As far as a sporting event?
Yeah.
I was doing a standby and it was Craig Biggio. Remember old Craig?
Yeah, sure. He played here.
Yeah.
Late 70s, late 80s.
He was catching and somebody tagged him and he had an open tib-fib fracture. The tibia-fibia is the lower shin bone.
He was playing in Phoenix? I mean, here?
No, he's here. He was with the Astros.
Yeah, no, I remember. I covered those teams back in the 80s.
Yeah, and he snapped his tib-fib.
I don't remember that.
And here's kind of a funny story. Is kind of the same era. Is I get a call dispatched for a shooting. It's up in the foothills. We get there, and these two little kids were playing with a BB gun. And his brother shot him just below the eye. So he had a little embedded BB in his eye, so he needed to be transported and taken care of. So he said, okay, where's your parents? And they said, oh, they're at High Corbett. So he's thinking of watching a baseball game. So we're on the phone for about 10 minutes, and the baby says, okay, here's his dad. Well, it's Julio Franco.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think you've told me this story.
He's actually on the field. They called him off the field, and he had to come to UMC.
Was he playing? He was playing with the Indians at the time, probably.
Yeah,
shortstop. Him and I got into it when I was covering the game one time.
Yeah?
He was a jerk.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, his kids were not happy after he got done. Imagine if he's out on the field.
Sure, sure.
Having to leave the field to take care of it. So,
right. This had to be 1987, 88, 89, around that time.
Yeah, it was in the mid-80s.
Right. You, Sean?
We talked about it. We had the high school football player that had the same thing where he was playing the game. He's like 10 yards away from me, and he had a temp fib where his foot was facing the wrong direction and the bone was sticking through the shin. So, yeah.
Yeah. How do you guys deal with that stuff?
No, we didn't do it. We're just there to try to help fix it.
You know what I'm saying?
We're wired differently.
Yeah. It's, you know, and there's right now there's an increase in suicide
in kids? Suicides.
No, as far as firefighters.
Tell me, what's the reason for that?
Well, picture this. My very first day out of the academy, I get dispatched to a rescue nature 9 call just up north of Vine and LaToya. I get there, ring the doorbell. The door's kind of cracked. Nobody answers. So I push open the door and, hey, fire department. So we go in. I end up going into the bathroom, and there's a mom. She had taken her four kids and put a bullet in each of their heads and in herself. I'd never seen a dead body. My very first call out of the fire academy. And so, you know, it's, I don't know, I have my partner die in my hands.
Yeah. No, I take you guys are wired differently.
Yeah.
Yeah, my son's kind of doing what you guys are doing.
Yeah,
and it's I'm amazed at what you guys do, and more power to you. Good, congrats. And I don't.
Well, we need more focus and assistance for suicide prevention for first responders.
I just saw something on the news: a woman who just got a divorce, took her three kids, and
that's amazing.
Yeah, it's just it's
not even amazing. You know what I mean?
It's just disappointing. Yeah, sorry.
Disappointing. Good.
Yeah, we'll talk more about sports on the other side. You're depressing me, Bill. And not just like you always do, this is worse.
I'm not a mirror.
Ah, good one, good one. Can we go to a break? Because his jokes are going to get really bad, and we don't want to go there. Here on 10-3 The Voice. So I'm going to go really off base here. Welcome back to Eye on the Ball here. I'm Steve Rivera, your host on 10-3 The Voice. So I'm going to go with you, Shopper. So what you played ball, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Greatest moment on the field or otherwise?
Wow.
That Gatorade bottle.
I don't even know what you're talking about on that one. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I enjoyed every.
What do you mean you don't? Of course you know. You always remember.
No, I mean, the team that I played with, we did very well for all four of our seasons and our.
Where'd you go to school?
I went to Amphi.
Okay.
So, and some of my.
The Bates brothers.
They were there. John Volpe was there.
So. Oh, yeah. So you had some good teams.
Yeah. So that's.
We talked about that.
Yeah, we did.
We talked about where you guys lost in an upset because you guys weren't prepared.
Well, yeah, we looked past and we said, okay, we beat them by this many touchdowns last time. So right. We'd do the same thing. And they went, no, we're going to go back. And
So tell me, how tough was it playing for Vern?
Vern was very focused. Vern was a good coach. He got a lot more effort out of people than I mean, he could take an average player and not make him great, but he could make him win.
And that's what makes a good coach.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of make him play above their potential.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So who was the best player you played with ever?
Well, it'd have to be Michael Bates.
How old are you?
No, he was a freshman when I was a senior.
Okay.
So
okay.
Yeah, but I mean, when you're running track with the kid and he runs a Pac-12 Pac-10 qualifying time on AccuTrack, as a 13-year-old kid, not wind aided, it was electronic.
I don't know if I knew that. Yeah. Then he obviously went to the Olympics later on.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, how do you? Yeah, you know, I mean, we've had some players that have come through that have gone on to.
Well, his older brother's pretty good too.
So there was three, the one that was below me was Marion Bates,
mm-hmm.
Then it was Michael, and Mario was the youngest.
Okay,
and so
okay.
The two younger ones went, so Mario and Michael, went, and so, yeah, absolutely.
I just saw him, maybe 5 months ago, I guess, at the park, the racetrack. Totally different. Looks totally different.
Yeah.
Have you seen him?
Yeah. So when they had the little celebration thing at Amphi High School after Vern passed, it was pretty crazy to see all the football players and cheerleaders that came back. They celebrated in the gym and went over there. And it was weird because, you know, you have reunions every 10 years, but they're only people that are in your class.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here you got football players that came from 1975 all the way to, you know, 2005 or later. So, yeah.
Right, right. No, he looks totally different. I ran into him. I wanted to get him on the show. He just hasn't obliged.
Right.
Give him a little food.
Yeah. Yeah, I try to. So what's your best? Did you play ball?
Yeah.
Like what? Baseball?
Played football and baseball all 4 years.
So give me your greatest experience.
Tetherball.
Gatorade.
Tetherball.
What do you guys keep talking about? I won't say it.
Yeah, please. This is a live mic.
I played fullback.
Okay, no.
One game I scored a touchdown doing that. My biggest upset was I wrestled 1 year.
Are you being serious now, right?
No, I'm being serious.
Okay. I don't want to. Go ahead.
You'd be surprised what I used to look
like. No. I don't want you to say something crazy on the radio. No. You kind of scare me.
No. back then, heavyweight was unlimited.
Okay.
Today, I think it's like 275. So my dad drove all the way out to Yuma. I was wrestling this kid from Kofa High School. Big Native American population. We estimate he was probably, I was 225, 230.
You were?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He was about 450. And he pinned me in about 8 seconds. Mm-hmm. That was the end of my wrestling career.
That was your good day?
Yeah. 8 seconds. The rest of everybody beat me. No, I think I won one or two matches.
Yeah, that's a tough sport, man.
Yeah, it's a...
Those guys are tough.
It's a good sport.
You guys
are
tough.
No, I played freshman football at Santa Rita, and then I varsity started both ways, my sophomore, junior, senior at Marana, and I caught same thing, baseball, 3 years.
You were a catcher?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yep.
And, I grew up, my dad coached me, but I wasn't very talented. I just wasn't very interested.
Mm-hmm.
I love playing football and baseball and never played basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, wrestling, my wrestling career was.
Right. So, Sean, what makes it, I don't know if we talked about this, what makes a good player? Not, and don't give me talent. Talent, we can understand.
Well, talent makes a great player. I mean, they. The problem is drive is what makes a good player.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to have a reason why. I mean, here, whether it's business, whether it's life, whether it's in sports, it's
good,
the drive.
Good analogy. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just about drive. I mean, we talked a little bit off air here. I mean, back when we were playing, you would practice 5 days and then you'd have a game.
Mm-hmm.
You have one walkthrough and then you have a game. You got folks that are playing year round ball. I mean, mm-hmm. they've got. Not only club teams, but they also have specialists that are helping them to run faster. I mean, you look at some of these gyms, they have areas over there that will guarantee to, you know, make your child run faster, jump farther, you know, mm-hmm. jump higher. And so, I mean, people are specializing in that and they're helping out. But, you know, back in the day, it was all about the drive.
Intelligence. I think you have a more intelligent, you know, the old, I'm a big offensive lineman.
Yeah, yeah.
Today, he's very intelligent.
I also think that you have burnout more often.
Well, and there's a perfect example. He's club sports. You know, I was talking to my buddy from Tucson Fire that his daughter's playing club ball every week. My niece and my great niece
out somewhere
every weekend. They're out traveling and you know mm-hmm. practicing 4 or 5 days a week in hopes to get that scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the girls' softball is more of a dead end. Eventually, after college,
there's the
more or less
there's
not a lot of opportunity. But it's amazing the hours these kids and the money.
Mm-hmm.
That the parents, you know, a dang baseball bat now is $200-$300, and they got to have 3 or 4 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know. I'm glad I grew up in the year I did, where it was enjoyable.
Right.
Yeah, we wanted to win and the competition stuff like that. But today, it's you know, everybody wins.
Mm-hmm. So tell me, how do teams get a hold of you guys to do what you're doing in the new?
And we do. We do actually a lot of teams at 400-8204. If Julia Holt is listening, we've tried to contact him in the past because there's a lot of chaos a week or two. In fact, this past season, the Raiders had contacted us. We actually, opening day was on Saturday. We were actually teaching CPR class for the coaches on Friday evening at 6 o'clock.
Because they had to have it.
They had to have it. So if somebody out there wants to call us and get us in contact with these leagues.
Mm-hmm.
We give great discounts. We make it specific towards your sport.
Mm-hmm.
And
how is there? What do you mean? It's specific to your sport.
As far as we talk about, you know, there's certain injuries towards baseball,
football.
You know, you're more likely to have a dehydration.
Sports specific.
Yeah, sports specific. And again, most of our staff is, you know, has played sports.
Yeah, it's not discount specific for the sport. It's we're able to actually focus on specializing on what their concerns might be.
Yeah, football is different than baseball.
Absolutely.
Although it's the same techniques, but it's different to the specific.
Yeah, you typically find dehydration with a baseball player,
mm-hmm.
like you might with a football player. So
right.
But yeah, we really want to work with these teams, and I think maybe you know, planning some events and giving some choices and opportunities, and we're large enough where we have the staff, so.
You have the CPR to you. The name of this one,
EMS to you.
To you,
EMS to you.
EMS.
EMS to you. Did you have another one besides this one?
As far as businesses,
yeah, I thought you had another.
Yeah, there's medical technologies to you. Where we're actually, and I won't say much about it, but we're actually working on an app
mm-hmm.
For the iPhone. We also have some concierge. You know, I don't want to share a lot of this stuff yet, Steve, because it's still in the development stages.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff, but yeah, we got some great things happening here.
Right.
But kind of to keep it on the theme of where we're at right now, the EMS to you is our emergency medical standby. And so that's the stuff that's going to be for sports stuff. We can also do corporate events. We can do concerts. Wherever there's a need for us to do standby medically, we can do that. And since we are a sports show, I mean, that's why we're talking about football. It could be baseball, basketball, soccer, whatever they need. Because what's the thing is it's not just Tucson Youth Football. I mean, all your referees, whether you're soccer, whether you're basketball, whether you're football, all is required to have it as well as the coaches. So absolutely.
And you're getting, again, EMTs and paramedics with lots of experience.
Right.
Not only doing the standby, but actually teaching. And our medical director for CPRDU is the director of trauma services for Banner here. So.
Oh, really?
Yep.
What's his name?
Dr. Bilal Joseph.
Okay. So I'm there every now and again?
Yeah.
Are officials required to? They are?
Yeah.
So if you want to become official, you have to do that as well?
That's why I say the referees or anything along those lines that they have.
Yeah, basically you're on the field, you got to have CP. And I think it's a great thing.
Well, no, of course. I think it's great. Long time in coming.
And when are you going to come take a class, Steve?
When I have time. Oh, because you guys moved. You guys were used to be near my house. Now you guys are on the east side.
Yeah, we expanded. We're in about 4,000 square feet.
I will at the new year or after El Tour, and I'll go by.
Yeah, we'd like you to come. I mean, it's only CPR first aid's 5 hours, CPR's 3 hours. I mean, that's only you getting up, taking the nacho bowl off your tummy and coming into class.
It's the Cheetos. I eat the Cheetos, Frito pies, stuff like that. I'll bring you some.
I got a story about Cheetos for
you. Okay. I will feed
tell
up
us
by.
At the break.
Yeah, tell us at the break, please. Or don't just tell us at all. So have you guys started this full-fledged?
Yeah, we're all licensed, certified. Probably won't kick it off till after the first of the year.
Oh, okay. But you guys have already done events like this.
Yeah, we've done events,
with the Mexican Baseball League. Yeah.
Yep.
Now you just need your word out.
Yep. Getting the word out, which we will.
Once you hire me to be your PR guy, we're good. Actually, this is your PR guy. This is your PR moment. Take your time. Take your time. It's all right. And I can see the wheels spinning.
Yeah, they're spinning. I'm picturing you in a bag of Cheetos.
So, Sean, this is your way to heaven, right? Dealing with him.
Yeah, it's one of the many, but yeah. Yep.
Do you know that? You know that?
No.
You don't? Now you do. Now you do. So tell me real quick, we have a couple minutes. I don't want to kill our listener, but football, are you going to turn it around?
Nope.
No, it's too...
You know, I know that was a quick answer on that.
But a good one.
I think the problem that they're going to have right now is that Oregon is not going to look past them. Utah is not going to look past them. But they're kind of... I mean, I appreciate that they assigned Chuck to do this. You ask, can he make a difference in the meanwhile? Yes and no. Do I think it's going to be that big of a drastic change? No.
No.
Not in the short amount
Football
of time.
Football is a team, offense and defense, team sport. So.
Right. So, no. What about basketball? Give me your quick...
That I don't know.
No?
Nothing about.
I think they have a pretty good season this year. So.
Meaning what's the good?
You know, I think we're getting behind some of the stuff that we had the last year or so, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I do.
Too much into depth on that. Whether it's in the rear view mirror or not, we can kind of refocus instead of all the stuff that was non-focusing for the players and the coaches. I think we can move forward on that.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy does a pretty good job coaching. It just have to be in the game of focus. I think we have some good folks that are ready to play some good ball. So.
Oh, yeah. Hey, by the way, I want to congratulate again Clint Green with his new baby Kona.
Okay.
Check this out. The guy's 78 years old, just had a baby.
Really?
Yeah.
Is he crazy?
Yeah. Need to check up from the neck up.
Okay. Well, good. We'll end it on that. How much time we have though, Ray?
A little more time.
A little more time. So you mean I have to talk to him a little bit more?
Tiny bit, like 30 seconds.
30 seconds. That's okay. Well, thanks for coming in, guys. I always like you guys coming in. We had a scheduled show here today, and we wanted to have a couple of great topics. Kind of fell through, but maybe one day we'll be able to talk about it.
Stay on.
It is what it is. We'll be fine. You're always good to be here, Mr. Bill. Sean, good to see you. Miss Mr. Balta.
Yeah.
We'll get him back
and
here.
And again, congratulations.
He was tired of your torture. That's what he was.
Yeah. Congratulations, Clint.
Thanks, guys.
Have
Thanks for coming
evening,
out for
man.
Eye on the Ball here. Thanks, on 10:30 The Voice.